Hare Krishna. Is it possible to have a microphone for the violin? No, no need. How old is your daughter? Well, I was 3 years older than this little girl, and I was coming to Krishna consciousness with my violin, and I would play every kirtan with my violin. It was not very beautiful. I was called the violinist of the devil. That was not very, very good thing, but just to see, now we have a little violinist out.
So now we're going to sing this Jaya Radha Madhava song, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur composed. Radha Madhava, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Gopi Jana Madhava Girivara Hari, Yashoda Nandan Raja Jana Rajan, Yamuna Tira Valanchari. A very compact description of Krishna in Vrindavan. So let us leave Zagreb for some time, shall we? And go to Vrindavan.
Thank you. Thank you. my heart, I want to say from me personally, thank you all for coming again. Most of you were here yesterday evening, and it's so nice, so encouraging to be with you. The program yesterday and also today is has an official title of Sadhu Sangha. I believe all of you have some idea what this notion is about, Sadhu Sangha. But I thought to sort of start things off, we can reflect a little bit on this subject. Yes, it's confirmed. I want to hear this subject out on the street. Newly married, is that what that means?
Yes.
That means somebody won a football game. Oh, is it possible to remove the translation voice from our box here? Yes, thank you. Yes. We remember yesterday Satchinandana Swami Maharaj led us in a very nice meditation. The question came up, what is the meaning of this prayer that we hear? So I gave a little explanation of the Sanskrit, Vancha Kalpa Duru Vyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vyadevata, Patitana, Avanevyo, Vaishnavevyo. And I also explained something about the notion of the Sanagrahi Vaishnava. We could add, if we wanted to be more inclusive, we could say Vaishnava and Vaishnavi. Vaishnavi is the feminine form. So Sanagrahi Vaishnavi and Sanagrahi Vaishnava. The one, the devotee, Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, who can grasp the essence. Who can grasp the essence. Which means not being worried about what is not the essence. And we also heard yesterday so nicely from Satchinandana Maharaj about having a positive attitude. That if we have a positive mentality, we will get the world will reflect back upon us in a positive way. Conversely, a negative attitude will reflect back on us, and we will see and we will experience only all kinds of negativity. Even we may be pursuing the spiritual path. So Maharaj led us in this nice meditation, which reminded me of a tradition among certain Buddhist groups. Don't worry, I won't preach Buddhism. But they do have some nice practices. One of them is called Brahma Vihara. Brahma Vihara is, as we experience, you begin a meditation on something easy. In this case, we were invited to meditate on offering respect, Vancha Kalpa, offering obeisance. And we also meditated on having our Anjali Mudra. This is actually a wonderful mudra. It's extremely powerful. It's extremely powerful. If someone comes to you in an aggressive way, either with language or with looks or with anything, and you do this, it collapses their aggression. Hare Krishna. It's very powerful. So this is the approach to the to offer obeisance to another. And the invitation was, step one let's offer obeisance. Let's think of someone to whom we could very easily and readily offer obeisance without any hesitation. And certainly we can all think of someone that without hesitation, yes, I can throw myself at this person's feet and offer with full heart my obeisance in prayer. So we have this meditation and then went to step two, and step two is a little more difficult. Offer obeisance to someone toward whom we may feel, let's just say neutral. Not an inclination, not a disinclination. But okay, maybe that's good for me, so I'll do it. If it's good for me, I'll do it, right? If it's, you know, this is medical logic, you know, you offer some, you know, you are having some illness, some medicine is offered, it's good for you. Oh, you don't worry so much about how it tastes. But anyway, it tastes neutral in this case, so it's not a problem. So then, okay, we managed that, but then step three. What was step three? Offer obeisance to someone to whom we are not inclined to offer obeisance, for whatever reason it might be. And probably all of us could also think of such a person, although I don't know, perhaps here in Croatia this is not a problem. Not a problem. Huh? Sometimes, rarely, yeah. Anyway, the point is, what is happening here? It's an exercise, just like a physical exercise. In physical exercise, you lift a weight. Actually, true confession, I have some 2 kilo weights, which I lift sometimes when I'm in the place where I have the 2 kilo weights, which is most of the time I'm not there. But it's little, I do little exercises, 2 kilos. Some people are weight lifters and they will start, you know, much higher than that, and then they'll go gradually higher, 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 and higher. Which reminds me of a story, but I'll skip that for now. And the idea is that eventually one has increased what? What is it that one has increased to be able to do the heavier weight? Obvious answer. One has increased one's strength. Yes, strength. Which is strength in the muscles. But one has done it in a progressive way, from what's easy to what's a little more difficult to what's more difficult, extending out and thus becoming stronger, stronger, stronger. So, this principle is there in Buddhist tradition, what is called Brahma-vihara, in which one meditates on specific virtues. And one of these virtues is Maitra. Maitra means friendliness. Friendliness. So I start imagining being friendly with someone that I'm already friendly with. Not so difficult. And I work my way out to someone who is more difficult to be friendly with. And maybe then extend that even further out to someone who considers me as an opposition of some sort, an enemy or whatever. And if we meditate, if we think about this process, we begin to get a little inkling. You know the word inkling? Inkling. It's a very nice English word. It means a little idea. A little sort of an idea. We get a little inkling of what Krishna is talking about in Bhagavad Gita when he says, after he explains that a yogi is one who sees pebbles, stones, and gold with equal vision, the next thing he says is that someone who sees different sorts of persons with equal vision is more advanced. Surinvitari udasina madhyastha besha bandhushu sadhusha vicha papeshu samabhuti vishishyate samabhuti, having equal vision. So we can get a little sense from this idea of this practice how one might come to this point of having this equal vision. We could say some more about that, but I'm just trying to put out two or three ideas and then pass the microphone to Satchinandan Maharaj. But I wanted to refer to one other verse in Bhagavad Gita, which sometimes we are a bit surprised and even bewildered by. And indeed, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Arjuna was thoroughly not just surprised, but shocked when Krishna told him this verse. And the verse goes like this. It's in the 9th chapter of the Gita toward the end. Api chet suduracharo bhajate mam anamyabhav sadur eva samantavya samyak yavasito hisa. Even if someone commits not just duracara, not just something bad, but suduracara, something really bad. And that's what shocks Arjuna. Wait a minute, Krishna, what are you saying? I can't believe this. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says at one point, Krishna becomes red with anger. And he says, declare it boldly, O Arjuna, that my devotee never perishes with his eyes red with anger, with resolve, with determination. Bhajate mam ananyabhat, someone who does something terrible but worships me. Sadhu eva, that person is mantavyaha, is to be considered, to be regarded. It's the same trinada visini chena tarori vasahishana. Amanina, mananena, mana, to regard another person. Manada, to give respect to another person. Amanina, without expecting any respect for oneself. Kirtaniya sadahari, the result is one can always chant Hare Krishna. So Krishna says something very strong in this verse, which I think it's nice for us to remember. And we could go on about who is a sadhu, titikshava karunika, someone who is tolerant, someone who is merciful, and so on. And we might hear this and say, oh yes, that's me. Well, yes, that's all of us, at least to some extent. And what I want to say is that yesterday I spoke something about the Krishna consciousness movement, that Srila Prabhupada used this term. And it seems to me very much that what Srila Prabhupada had in mind for the Krishna consciousness movement was to inspire people all over the world,
people of all different faiths, of all different traditions, of all different, as he said himself, all different races, all genders, everything, creeds, to become sadhu. And this would bring about what Srila Prabhupada called, we read in a purport a couple of days ago, a kingdom of virtue. Kingdom of virtue. That such a thing is possible, Srila Prabhupada, as we also discussed, was very optimistic. And we, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, it behooves us to also be optimistic and to be questioning of the word impossible, where we, as Prabhupada famously said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Now for us as the Vaishnavas, aspiring Vaishnavas, pursuing the path of surrender unto the Supreme Lord as Krishna, as Vishnu, we are interested not just in being good, not just in being virtuous, but in being connected with Krishna. And this is where the word samda comes in, connection, sam, together, ga, going together. That's what sangha means. And we want to connect with each other as sadhus, as aspiring sadhus, in which we withhold judgment on others. We are very hesitant to pass judgment on other Vaishnavas. Extremely hesitant. Why? Because sadhureva samantavya. And we are very eager to connect each other with the Lord. And I want to end this with a little story, which is a true story, which I heard from one of our God brothers, Mahatma Prabhu, who was told the experience by one lady from India some time ago. This lady had been she had been hired to work for an NGO. You know what is an NGO?
Udruga.
Yes. She was hired by some NGO in Sudan, in Africa. So she flew from Africa, flew from, I think, Mumbai to Africa, and she came there and she started her work, working for this NGO, which was, you know, helping extremely destitute people, people with terrible diseases. They were arranging for medicine for these people, something like that. But after 2 weeks, she decided, I can't do it anymore. I just can't take this country. This country is so impoverished. The conditions here are just so miserable that it's just getting me completely depressed. I can't do this anymore. And so she made up her mind. One day she said, okay, that's it. I'm out of here. And she was on her way to her office to report to her boss and to tell her boss, I'm sorry, I'm quitting. She was on her way to work and she was looking very much down to the ground because it's very hot in Sudan. And so she had a hat on and she was looking very close to her feet as she walked. And as she was walking, something caught her eye. And what caught her eye
was a little matchbox. Matchbox, you know? What do you call matches? And what was special about the matchbox? She stopped, she picked up the matchbox, she looked closer. There was a picture of Krishna on the front of the matchbox. She's from India, she knows about Krishna. She looked, and she stopped and she said, "Krishna, are you trying to tell me something?" All right. And she went, she continued to work, and she did not go to her boss to quit, but rather she continued her work, and she stayed there for the next 2 years. And then later she reported this to Mahatma Prabhu, and she said, "I learned a lesson from this." Would you like to hear the lesson? Are you sure? Okay. The lesson is very simple. The lesson is that Krishna is just one thought away. Krishna is always just one thought away from us. That's not very far away, because we have so many thoughts. Yes? So many thoughts. So just one thought for Krishna, and then Krishna comes running to us. So that's our Krishna consciousness movement. And this movement is an opportunity. And as we also just heard, let us be grateful for such opportunity, for circumstance we find ourselves in. And let us expand that gratitude in a spirit of cooperation, which we also discussed yesterday. But with something else which I didn't mention yesterday as we discussed cooperation, and that is the absolute essential ingredient, actually Satchidananda Maharaj implied it, and that is humility. Humility. And what is humility? Humility is being ready to bow down, Mr. Yes, to offer obeisance. That's really the readiness, the eagerness. We want to be lower, not equal. I was talking about being equal yesterday, but actually I thought about it later and I thought, something's not quite right in this. There's something else here. The dynamic of the devotee is, let me be in the lower position. That's where the devotee is happy. Being in the subordinate position. From there, Krishna, or in that position, then Krishna comes. And Krishna is always present, just one thought away. So, sadhusanga, this is what we are about. And we want to expand sadhusanga. Let us ourselves be sadhu. Let us meditate what it means to be sadhu. And let us encourage others to be attracted. Yes, being sadhu, this is nice. This is what human life is about. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I will stop here and...
messages. I very much appreciate
appreciate what Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj shared with us. Very, very true, really. Yes, we have to grow. And in the process of growing, we will see so many wonderful fruits in our life, which we may not have thought that they are possible to come. But when we are really willing to grow and to learn our lessons in life, there is a great opportunity for us to discover miracles, really. I thought this evening to do what is announced, to do talk a little bit about Krishna personally. And I've chosen a very important pastime of the Lord. That is where Sudama Vipra meets Krishna. I remember when I was a little child, a little boy, I would very often imagine how would it be if I would go to heavens and meet God. It was a regular meditation. I was actually there was a very pious and religious episode in my childhood. I was very, very pious and prayed every evening for a long time. And I kept wondering, how would it be if I would be introduced to Krishna? What would Krishna do, say to me? And what would I feel in relationship to him? So there is a pastime where the Lord is receiving his devotee Sudama. And it's a very nice if you study the detail, because you will find some principles which will also apply to your own becoming more Krishna conscious and having, yeah, and seeing Krishna more with eyes of love. So I wanted to narrate this. It is described, someone who hears this pastime will finish his repetition of birth and death. So when we leave this hall, we will not be born again. and will be very good for our spiritual advancement. Let us enter Krishna Katha like it is discussed in the Bhagavatam, by really drinking the nectar through our eyes, hearing it with attention as a service to Krishna, and feeling bhakti rise in our heart. So please chant with me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namine Namaste. one particular sentence which he had learned from his own spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master or guru of Srila Prabhupada, had said, "Don't try to see God, but act in such a way that he will see you." When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur built his main temple in Siddhamayapur, he installed the deities of Sri Sri Radha Gandharvika Giridhari there, Radha and Krishna. And there was a particular darshan arrangement, which is still, at least last year, I still saw it. You stand before the deity, there is something like a corridor which looks a little bit like a tunnel. It's about 5 or 7 meters long. It's quite some distance. And when you are a little bit too much to the left side or a little bit to the right side, you can't see the deities because the vision is blocked by this tunnel-like construction. So once Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was standing before the deity, straining like this to see, and one of his disciples remarked, "Oh, it was very difficult to see Krishna, isn't it, Guru Maharaj?" Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "It is impossible to see Krishna. With these eyes we cannot see the Lord, but we can act in such a way that he feels pleased to look our way." And this idea is maybe one of the main philosophical contributions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He always made it clear that we are not the seers. We can never see God, but we are the seen. We can be seen by God. Just imagine a little bit, if now an ant would crawl over my nose, this ant would most probably not be able to see from his position myself, nor would he be very interested in me, because I mean, something he cannot understand. So big, I don't even have 6 legs. I am really a very misfortunate creature in his eyes. But he would not see me and understand me because he's too small. But I can see the ant very well, and I can see it crawling over the pages of my notebook. In much the same way, we who are so limited, so conditioned, cannot really hope to see God, but we can act in a way that he sees us. Imagine all of you at this moment, if Krishna would look at you and into your heart, what would he see? I'm not thinking of your frisura, or because it's not so interesting, or your new t-shirt, I love the darling, or whatever. But when Krishna would look at you, what would he see at this moment? When you walk through your week and act, what would Krishna see, and how would he see you? Maybe it's something like Krishna Chandra Maharaj said, maybe he would shake his head, say, when will he ever become normal? he might feel like that. So in Krishna consciousness, we really want to stop as often as possible and ask ourselves the question, what will Krishna see now? And the moment you ask this question, you will immediately see that there is an improvement in your life. I know this whenever I come and visit a devotee's home, it always looks very orderly. Everything is in the right place, there is no mess, and so on. Because they ask themselves, what will Sachinanda Swami see when he comes into my apartment? Let me better put the DVDs away. It's a normal inclination which we all have. When we have someone who is dear to us and he comes as our guest, we ask ourselves the question, what will he see now? And we want to be seen as in our best. So this meditation where you ask yourself, what will Krishna see when he sees me? When he sees me dealing with a certain situation, making certain decisions which either are meant to benefit others or which are meant to benefit us, what will he see? Will he be pleased with what I do? This is a very good meditation which keeps us from doing things which are harmful to others and for ourselves. So, there's one great devotee who was seen by Krishna. His name is Sudama. He lived in a little village which is now known in India as Sudamapur. Not pure like pure fruit juice, but poor like Puri, like town, Sudama town. And he was very, very poor. He was so poor that he could not afford a regular meal. And as a result, his veins stood out. He was so skinny, maybe like Mama Jwala. Very skinny, not so much to eat, and so on. And his wife, his name was not Anuradha, his wife was, name was Sushila. She came and said, oh, we are very poor. Yes, no problem, said Sudama. We have Bhagavad Gita, no problem. No, you're very poor and you're getting more skinny as the years progress. We need to do something to get enough wealth in our home. You have a friend, you went with him to school, Krishna, the king of Dwaraka. Why don't you go and ask him for a little financial support? And Sudama said, I don't want to ask the Lord to help me with material things. I can't imagine. But his dear wife Sushila, who loved him so much and cared so much for him, kept on, you know, poking him. I heard from Grihasthas, that's what the Matajis do when they want something. They go, they always come. So finally Sudama said, okay, I go. Let's have peace in our household. I go. What can I bring with me as a gift for Krishna? Sushila said, nothing. We are so poor. But we want to give a gift. I will go to our neighbors and I will beg some rice. So Sushila went and she came back and she had a little pouch. Pouch means like a little bag of this very, very poor rice. It is called broken rice. And gave this to Sudama. Take this with you to Krishna. So Sudama took this pouch, he put it over his shoulder, he put it here in his armpit, and started his journey to Dwaraka. He walked the distance of 104 kilometers or feet to come to Dwaraka. When he came to the shore, the beach, he saw the island in the distance. There was a boat, some other brahmanas
joined him, and they went by boat to the island of Dwaraka, and they wanted to enter the town. Now the town had 6 town gates, one after the other. I met today Divya Prabandha, who has visited many times the Sri Ranganath deity. And as you visit, you have to also go through many Gopurams, through many, not many, but a few gates. I counted 5, but maybe it's more or less. Because they were Brahmanas, the military people who guarded this gate gave them free passage. They didn't check on them, and they just quickly walked through. When Sudama came and told, you know, had passed through the different gates and was now inside Dwaraka, he was a little bewildered. He saw many palaces. How many palaces had Krishna in Dwaraka? Yes, 60,108 palaces. Imagine you want to go to Mahajwala and split, and you find out he has 60,108 addresses. It's very difficult to decide, where will I go? So Sudama thought, where will I go? And he decided, I will go into the palace back. Rukmini Krishna is, but Krishna together with his wife Rukmini is. So as he was walking, he had this feeling, will Krishna remember me? It's so long back when we were together in the school of our spiritual master Sandipani Muni, the Gurukul. Will he actually remember me? Will he care for me? Isn't that sometimes we as devotees have also this question? I'm so insignificant. I'm so small. Will Krishna fairly nicely illuminated? Krishna had all kinds of wonderful architectural specialities in his palaces. Sudama felt very awed and very inspired. Oops. Like when you visit our place in Germany, we built a castle, and when devotees enter, it has all chandeliers and tapestries and carpets and gold chairs. They go like, oh, oops, where should I sit? You know, because it was so, it is a little bit of overwhelming, it's a little opulent. So Sudama was not able to say anything. Krishna brought him and said, Siddhi, and asked him to sit down next to him on his personal bed. And then Krishna opened the conversation and said, Sudama, you have come. Do you remember the time when both of us were together in the ashram of Sandipani Muni? Sudama went, yes, I remember. Do you remember how once there was not enough wood for the sacrificial fire, and the wife of our Guru Maharaj said, we need some fire. Wood. Yes, I remember. I remember, said Sudama. And no one else of the boys wanted to go because we saw there was a storm coming up. Yes. And we went, said Sudama. Yes, we went, said Krishna. And we picked up the wood, but right when we had collected the wood, the rain came down, the monsoon came down, it was so bad. Yes, it was so bad, Sudama. Finally, we were on this little hill and we were surrounded by water, and we had to stay there all night because we couldn't cross the forest any longer. It was underwater. Yes. And then in the morning, Guru Maharaj came. He came
He had searched for us with the other boys, and he came and he said something. With great compassion, said Krishna, our Gurudev said, my dear boys, it is very wonderful that you have suffered so much trouble for me. Everyone likes to take care of his body as the first consideration. But you are so good and faithful to your Guru that without caring for bodily comfort, you have taken so much trouble for me. And then our Guru Maharaj blessed us, Sudama. He blessed us. He was satisfied that we had taken more care for our service to him than our bodily comfort. I would like to say that we as students want to move forward, it's much more important to get the blessings of our Guru Maharaj than to do many things and maybe displease him with what we do with our efforts. In spiritual life, you move forward by the blessings of Vaishnavas. In material life, you think you move forward by your own efforts and muscles, but you don't reach very far with this effort. Try to please and obtain blessings, then your path is very, very easy. But if you do everything else and not try to get blessings, your path will remain difficult. So Sudama Krishna talked about this. I always think this is a good way also to talk when we meet our friends. We can talk about our experiences in devotional service. That's a very good way to connect. That's a very good way to come. So I know for some of you it is unusual to hear so much about Krishna, but it's a good medicine. Please tolerate it. It's good for you to follow this. It just makes the heart Krishna conscious. So then Krishna said, oh Sudama, did you bring something for me? And Sudama remembered the broken rice. I always joke, it was not sweet rice, it was sweat rice, because he had kept it under his armpit. And he said, no, I didn't bring anything, I'm sorry. Very poor, you know. And Krishna said, something, no? And Krishna just removed his hand and grabbed the bag. It was a little moist from the sweat. He opened it and he started to eat the broken rice. It was something like this rice which you get for Puri, for breaking Ekadasi, very hard rice. And he was eating, very good, and he was eating. Now as this was going on, Rukmini, his queen, was there. And after Krishna had taken three morsels like this, she grabbed the arm, said, no, this is not good for you, this is too hard, the rice, your stomach is very sweet, very, very, very soft, it is not good. And also, I'm already so much indebted to this Brahmana who pleased you, I don't know what to give him in return. Stop eating. There is a verse in the Gita, and the same verse is quoted in the Bhagavatam. It's the only Bhagavad Gita verse which you will find being quoted in the Bhagavatam. It says, "Patram push." Please say it with me. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhakta prayasati tadaham bhaktyuparitam ashnami prayatatma. Then the Lord says, whatever my devotee offers to me, a little fruit, a little leaf, some water, and a flower, I will accept it if it's done with bhakti. So Krishna here accepted the rice. And Bhishmanand Chakravarti Thakur says, this is how much Krishna loves the loving offering of his devotee, that he will even eat something which is not to be eaten, like a flower. In the Bhagavad Gita, you don't eat a flower, no? A rose, you know, if someone offers us a garland, we don't go. A flower is for decoration, not for eating. But Krishna in the Gita says, because it's offered with love, I become so overwhelmed and bewildered that I also eat the flower. And here Krishna again proved that he becomes overwhelmed in by the loving attitude of his devotee and will even eat the sweat rice. Do you, is it, have I explained the point in a way we can understand? Yes. Krishna has so much love, and in fact that's all he wants. He doesn't care so much about the different offerings. It must be done with bhakti. Therefore in this verse, Padram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, the word bhakti appears two times. It's repeated for emphasis, so that we get it in our heart. The Lord is interested in bhakti, and when bhakti is there, he's overwhelmed. He even makes a mistake by eating the flower or the rice. And out of love, this is done. Do you remember another incident where Krishna accepted something which is unacceptable? There was Gauranga Leela and Vidura. Yes, you know everything. When Krishna came as a messenger to the Pandavas, he came to the house of Vidura. And Vidura's wife was so overwhelmed. The Lord wants to come to our poor house. And she just wanted to prepare something. So she prepared some bananas, but out of mistake, she was just so nervous, she threw away the banana fruit and just offered the Lord the peel. And the Lord saw this was an offering of love, and he just ate the peel. Hare Krishna, this is love. The next day he came to Duryodhana's house, a palace, and Duryodhana had gotten all the good cooks of his kingdom to cook the best meals. And Krishna said, I'm sorry, I can't eat your food, because to eat you must either be hungry, and I cannot be hungry because my body is Sachit Ananda. I'm never hungry. Or one also eats when the person offers the food with love, even though one may not be hungry. I think you know this from your Croatian mothers, when you come home and again she has cooked a pile of pizza and so on. Mama, I'm really not hungry. I came here for something else. But no, you eat. And then, because mother loves us so much, we eat more. Because that's love. So Krishna said, Duryodhana, you have brought your best cooks, but I'm never hungry. I don't know what is hunger. I have this transcendental body. And as far as the second condition, under which someone can eat, love, you don't love me. In fact, you hate the Pandavas, my dear devotees. And if you hate my dear devotees, you hate me. So in this way, Krishna proved to Sudama and the world that he was accepting everything. And the next day there was an arati done to Sudama. Krishna washed publicly his feet and Sudama was sitting there. I think he must have felt blissful when the Lord touched his feet, because the Lord's touch is always blissful. But at the same time he felt, oh no, no, I'm so dirty. I'm so nonsense. And my Lord is touching my, I'm washing my feet. But he understood the Lord wanted to show that even he worships the Brahmanas. And in his pastimes, the Lord once preached to the Yadu clan that you must always worship the Brahmanas. If the Brahmanas are dissatisfied, then even a king, King Nriga, could become cursed to become a lizard. If he don't satisfy the Brahmanas, they're dissatisfied, there's only bad things happening in our life. We will not move forward very nicely. The Lord showed that in the Nriga episode, and preached to his clan, worship the Brahmanas. So Sudama knew this, and therefore he tolerated it. I want to come to the end, because there was something very sweet happening at the end. Krishna said to Sudama, please let us walk through Dwaraka. I will walk you some of the way which you need to go home to your village Sudampur. Krishna could have invited Sudama to ride on a chariot, but Krishna said, no, you walk and I walk with you. Do you know why? Can you imagine why? Well, Krishna says, the dust of my devotees' feet are purifying the entire world. So he wanted Sudama to leave some of his dust in Dwaraka. And after some time, Krishna said goodbye to Sudama. You go and I return. But when Krishna said goodbye, his heart was broken. Sudama's heart was broken when he had to say goodbye to the Lord, but also Krishna's heart was broken. Do you know why? It's a difficult. I read all this, so I can. Sudama, Krishna felt in his heart, I cannot respond to the love of my devotee. Sudama went out of his way to come to me, and he gave me a present which was more than he had. He had to beg for the broken rice. Now I want to give him something which is also more than I have. I want to return the gift in kind, but I don't have anything which is, you know, I cannot beg, because everything belongs to me already. I'm the Lord of everything. So I cannot give him something which I don't have. Sudama has given me a present which is beyond himself, beyond his abilities. But I cannot do this. Oh, again my devotee has defeated me in the arena of love. And he went back to his palace. And Sudama, when he returned, he wanted to go to his little hut, greet his wife. You remember the name of the wife? Sushila, yes. But there was no hut. No hut was available. Instead, there was a huge palace. maybe Sudama thought, oh, these are some demigod real estate investors. They bulldozed my hut down and they built something to sell it at a profit. But I don't think there was such a thing going on. What would you say if you go home and you come and there is a palace? You think, is it for me? No, there must be some mistake. Maybe I'm in the wrong movie here. But when he came close to the palace, he saw in the park of the palace his own wife dressed in a beautiful sari, and the wife came with tears in her eyes and said, oh my dear husband, this was Krishna. Krishna has given us this wonderful palace now, because you must have come to ask him for some financial support. Sudama said, no, I didn't ask him for anything. But my Lord has given this. Sudama remained very careful. He said to himself, Vishwanath Chakravarti said, I'm not Prahlad. Prahlad was the king, but he never became attached to his material opulence. I have to be very careful. So he kept on with his austere lifestyle, even in a palace. He always remembered how he sat with Krishna, how Krishna asked him to sit on his bed, and how Krishna talked with him about their mutual past. He could never ever forget the smile of Krishna when Krishna talked about how their Guru Maharaj was so satisfied and blessed them. That remained in his heart. My dear devotees, sometimes Krishna will not give us material opulences in return. Sometimes when we do bhakti, Krishna does not give us a palace in return, because he knows we could maybe lose our Krishna consciousness if we are surrounded with material opulence. And the Lord always knows what is right for us. And when we turn to him, he sometimes may purify our vision by giving us a purifying experience. But please know, just like Krishna showed in the Sudama episode, where he received Sudama so lovingly, where he accepted his gift, and where he responded in his amazing ways, Krishna always receives each devotee. I liked very much when Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj said, Krishna is only a thought away. I sometimes say, like Maharaj, Krishna is only a prayer away. Both are the same, expresses the same thing. He's very close. And I would like you to inspire you for a meditation. Please think about Krishna seeing you, just like he saw Sudama coming and making an arrangement for Sudama. Please think in your life, Krishna sees me. And ask yourself, is Krishna satisfied with the way I am acting now? Is Krishna satisfied with the way I'm thinking? Is Krishna satisfied with my plans? And I think if you introduce this meditation or thought into your life, you will very quickly grow in your Krishna consciousness and leave away those things which don't please Krishna, and do the things which please Krishna. You will grow very quickly. If you don't want to do this, there's another meditation. Think that you will die one day. And what you think, if what you do at the present moment is good enough to convince Yamaraj that you are a good soul, that will also help. That is for those who are a little new and fresh in spiritual life. they can do like this. They like to be fear inspired in their lives. When they are afraid, they do things. And others like to go more when they are inspired by attraction to Krishna. So good. This is what I wanted to share with you. It is personally for me a very nice or interesting leela, because as a child I always was meditating about this, that maybe one day I was also meditating, what would I ask Krishna if he would, or God, if he would ask me, what do you want? I was thinking about it, and when I was a child I said, I will want a magical wand, magical wand. You know? How do we call it? Yes, so I thought when I have this one thing, then I can have everything else from it. I think Krishna has given us the star. The star is the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. I feel very strongly that this is there for us. But that's another subject. Tomorrow in the morning class, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj and myself will talk about things, and I want to talk about the subject direct appointment with Krishna. Good. I thank you very much for listening to this. I hope you could enter something of this wonderful pastime. And yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Something on your mind, whatever it might be, we can discuss. We have a microphone here now. Oh, here we are. Microphone is coming.
Hare Krishna. My name is Ishanyandra.
I wonder if we could turn on more lights, because we can hardly see you.
And I have a question.
Hello.
Many years ago, I offended one devotee. So my question is, Nitya Paramananda Prabhu, please forgive me.
Now you have said something. What will you do now? This is very important.
Yes.
When we want to be excused, it's not a matter of just saying it. You will have to make contact and serve that devotee. That's very important. Otherwise it is only words, but it should get substance. A wonderful point. Thank you so much. And thank you for your courage. Courage, ooh, very heroic. You are a heroic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. If I can please make a question at some point from the lecture yesterday, with I remember Nanda Maharaj with Prahlad saying that Prahlad Maharaj was not really understanding his father as a being like a villain, like a bad person. He didn't really understand him like he's evil and he shouldn't be punished or something, but he didn't really take it very seriously. He's just a normal teacher. So I thought that there is some great wisdom there. So maybe you can explain to us how when we see maybe other devotees maybe doing all the right thing, you know, in order not to criticize them, like just criticizing us or something, you know, doing something bad. So not taking it very too much seriously, but try to actually preach to them and help them.
Moti, we don't really hear so much because can you put that in the speaker?
Okay, but then you need to also ask on creation, okay?
Did any one of you understand acoustically? I mean, I just...
Not really.
Okay, so moje pitanje je bilo, juče je bio poanta na lekciji sa Prahlad Maharadžom, kada ga je njegov otac pokušao na razne načine ubiti. On nije doživljavao svog oca kod nekog zlobnika, nego njega je doživljavao jako, njegov je te napad doživljavao kao jako osobno, nego je molio se njega i propovjedao me. Pa mi je samo se htio da Maharadži možda ono kaže nešto u vezi toga, da ne doživljamo preosobno znači neko ponašanje bhakta, nego da možemo propovijedati i tako, to je bilo moje pitanje. Razumite se? So it was a bit long question, but my question was just like, how can we see devotees not to criticize them if they do something wrong? Devotees, if they do something wrong, not to criticize them, but try to be honest, speak to them.
In general, I think Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj has very nicely expressed that we are very hesitant to judge. I know that this tendency to judge others is very much spread in our Western culture. Oh, he, oh, she, oh, who, look at him, oh, who. There's a whole newspaper video about this judging and about so on. It's something which in spiritual life we don't want to do for two reasons. One is, you never really know how much sincere the devotee is in relationship to Krishna. He may have done something which is not very useful for, which you don't like very much. Can we have a little bit more concentration, please? Just a little. We don't know, you know, even when you have someone that was a great devotee, who was a very dear friend of Srila Prabhupada, one of his godbrothers, who said, I have learned in my life, he was already 90 years old when he said this, to not criticize a devotee because you never know how much he cries to Krishna, how much he prays to Krishna, and how he is dear to Krishna because of this. Okay, he must have done something, he has done something which is not in your style or not in your understanding. But you can't judge that his relationship with Krishna. So we are very hesitant, really, to judge. And another is, you know, the Lord looks at every one of us with kindness, he satisfied with all the efforts which someone does, and so on. And because we want to please the Lord more, we will not quarrel with our brothers and sisters. It is because he feels pain in his heart when he sees it, just like a parent. You know, I remember we had three boys in our family, and it was not always easy because each one of us, my older brother, my younger brother, and me, were completely different. When you see us next to us, we look like people from different universes. And we think also totally different. But I remember how sad my parents were when we were quarreling. Oh, and how my mother is now 90 years old. When she knows that I'm phoning my brother, it's the news of the day. Oh, they are together. So in the same way, for Krishna, we don't want to do this. And if there's anything to be corrected, there is also a forum to do that. There are responsible Vaishnava forums where this is done. But we must stop being so critical. And many, many, many times we make a big mistake. I think you know me a little. I'm extremely critical, being from the family I am and being from Germany. And I remember once Krishna told me a lesson. I gave a lecture in Zurich at the temple, a Sunday feast lecture, and I was really in my mood to explain everything, and one step after the other, choo, 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 choo. And in the midst of the talk, I saw two people turning to each other, and the one person started to make gestures to the other person, and the other person also made gestures, and I thought, wow, should I now throw an atom bomb in their direction? Why do they disturb so much? They ruined the whole atmosphere. I felt like this. So I had finished the lecture, that people came to talk and to ask questions. And then these two people came out. I saw them in the line. And I thought, my God, now you're coming to me and you will get in the German day. You will never forget this meeting with the Swami. Then they came. And then this one person said, your lecture was so good, I decided to translate it to my friend who is deaf. He cannot hear anything. So I spoke in the deaf language, sign language. I said, what? Oh, I said, I have to beg you, please excuse me. I was thinking you disturbed, but your friend is deaf. Yes, he's deaf. You never really know 100%. You don't know the past life of someone, what he has gone through. Even if someone attacks you publicly, you do not know. They most probably want the best thing, and they have some understanding and some problem maybe in their own lives. Something is not work. I don't know. Something happened. Something bad. So on. No, we should not criticize. And Krishna is more satisfied if we don't do this. And if you allow me, maybe you will not invite me again if I say this. I have noted, especially in the previous Yugoslavia, everyone talks about everyone in the back of everyone. This I saw so many times. But of course our devotees are absolutely free from this tendency. That is good. I just speak about the Kami word.
There's a nice little, what we call it in English, rule of thumb, you say in German, Daumenregel, a little trick which can help you when you're on the brink, when you're on the edge of, you know, of lowering the boom, of handing down your judgment on someone. And that is, when you want to speak about someone who is not present in a critical way. Imagine, and this takes a little bit of imagination, imagine that that person is present. So you're speaking to your friend about this person who is not present. But you can, it's not difficult, you can practice it. I'm still working on it, I'm preaching to myself. But you just picture that that person is also present. You might still say the same nasty things about the person. But you'll say it in a different way, because that person is present. And it's much more honest. You're actually putting yourself in a position of being trustworthy. And this is perhaps the worst accusation against another person, and that is, that person is not trustworthy. I do not trust that person. What about ourselves? Are we trustworthy? And I think a good trick to discipline yourself, especially in the matter of speaking. Krishna's advising us in the Gita, anubhigikaranvakya, don't speak in a way which is agitating to others. But all right, we still feel we have to say something. All right, what if that person is present? That's a major step toward becoming ourselves trustworthy. Is it time for kirtan? Okay. Then I think it's also time for dancing. Chant and dance, do you want to?
Thank you. Toto.
Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, the both of us want to thank you very much that you came. Thank you very much that you. Yeah.